Have you gotten COVID? You probably got it and didn't tell nobody.
Very, very beginning, my cochina ass, when everyone started to go out when we shouldn't have gone out, I went to the casino. And I got it.
I'll go to the casino right now if you want to go.
Well, now it's different, but I'm talking about like when we first were going out, when we weren't supposed to go out, I went.
I'm just saying, if you want to go to, I fucking love go. I love going to the casino, but it's like a guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But if any, like, I'll never bring it up. But if anybody's ever like casino, I'm like,
oh, good to know. I'll let you know.
I'm like Penelope when she hears somebody open like a package. She's just like, all of a sudden, she's like, you're gonna have to push her away. You're gonna have to push her away.
I don't want to be mean.
Just be mean.
No, baby girl.
I've seen you. No, you know what? I've never seen you be me. Tess Tickles, how the hell are you?
I am good. I am good, sir.
I was going to say it's been a minute, but you never did the podcast. You know, with you, it feels weird because we're, and I hope you feel the same way. We're such good friends that I feel like you've always been around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I'm like, oh, Tess hasn't done the podcast? I'm like, what do you mean Tess hasn't done? You know what I'm saying? So, like.
Agreed. Yeah. I kind of just slid in.
Yeah.
Fit it in.
Well, you were post-pandemic or pre-pandemic?
I was post.
Post. Okay. So let me ask you this. Was it something about the pandemic, like the downtime that we spent doing nothing and like kind of like the dread that made you be like, okay, I'm going to fucking do this. I've always wanted to do it. I'm going to do it. Is that what made you? Because you're like me, and we're starting, I'm not trying to age you out, but we started comedy late, like in our 40s, right? So
yeah, I'm 49. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Well, some ladies don't want to talk about their age. So you started comedy, what, like at 47?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when I started, at 47. Mm-hmm. So what was the pandemic part of what made you say, I got to do it right now?
You know, yes and no, because my dad got sick during the pandemic, and he passed. Not due to COVID, but I feel like lingering COVID symptoms just never got better, you know, and other medical complications and stuff. But his passing brought on, I feel like, my first true bout of like depression. And going through that reflection, evaluating him, my mom, they're night and day. My dad was very privileged. My mom was very poor. And so when they divorced 10 years after being together, it was night and day for me. So looking at both of them, I kind of realized I didn't do anything for just me. And I had a funny story. I took Johnny Taylor's storytelling class at the Punchline. And kind of went from there. He helped me write an ad lib on that story. And then I took Keith Lowell Jensen's Comedy 101 back then. And I wrote my first bit, and I wrote my dick sucking list.
Oh, was that? Did Keith Lowell Jensen help you with that?
Yeah.
He's like, I got a bunch of names for him. He's like, no, wait, let me see if I can do a Keith Lowell
Jensen. He was actually kind of shocked that I went for it.
Let me see if I could do a Keith Lowell Jensen. Hey, I got a bunch of funny names for them. Let me use some of my names. Hey, you should buy my book.
He said I was brave to try a list the first time out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I felt that as a challenge. And I was like, okay.
And a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was able to do it and kind of what I've gotten known for very quickly in doing my comedy.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Are you still using that bit? You still use it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's cool. my go-to closer, depending on the room.
Yeah. Yes. Read the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great advice. And so when was that when you first jumped up on it? When was that? Like 2 years ago yet?
So it was like I think in November is when I took Johnny's class 2 years ago.
Oh, I was about to say just last year. No, so it's been 2 years.
Two years. And then that following February, I took Keith's. And then in March, I started hitting open mics.
Okay.
Last June, I started doing shows.
Uh-huh. So March, April, May, June.
Yep.
Fun.
And between June and end of year, I had did 60 shows.
Dude, I stopped counting, but I did that. Did you count your open mics at the beginning?
No. I didn't count the open mics. And this year alone, I've done 70 shows so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And how many do you have a set? Like, are you like, I want to do 100 for the year? Are you not counting it that way?
I haven't really set a goal for that yet. But every month I try to set a goal. You know, like June was get the fuck out of SAC, and I hit 7 shows out of Sacramento.
Okay.
So I was quite proud about that. And then like another one will be like social media, like to tighten up my social media, promote more. The next month I'll work on my flyers, my logos, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So every month I'm trying to just keep it revolving and going and elevating.
What's your goal this month? To do my podcast?
September, sure. Actually, these last 2 months, I haven't really made goals because my son's in football.
Oh yeah. Take it easy on yourself.
Football season for you guys is football season for me in youth sports. So, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a youth league, not like high school yet. He's young, right?
I have a 21-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Oh, you're not talking about the 21-year-old.
No, it's the 11-year-old.
It's the 11-year-old. Is, okay.
Yeah.
And does that take up every Saturday?
He has games every Saturday. Yes.
Do you love it, or do you love hate it? Are you like, please let the game be at noon? Please let the game be at noon.
So, when I was with my 21-year-old, I was all about it, right? Team mom, snack mom, like got everything ready for him, made sure he had breakfast, took him to the practices, all that stuff. This 11-year-old, his dad's 13 years younger than me. So we're not together. He now has a younger girlfriend, right? That's playing stepmom.
Uh-huh.
So I bow down.
Yeah.
You want to step up to the plate? You want to be there every day? You want to make yourself the merchandise coordinator? You want to be the mom coordinator? Hey, when do you need me to bring snacks?
Yeah. You need $50? Here you go, right?
You need to borrow my Cricut to make things? Here you go.
Here you go. What's a Cricut?
The vinyl maker thing, you know?
They can do these okay.
So she had one and it was kind of messing up on her, and I had a brand new one that I had been sitting in the box for like a year that I'd gotten for Christmas, and I was like, oh, do you need to borrow my Cricut?
do you know what I have brand new sitting in the box?
Hmm.
A projector to show movies like in the front yard.
Oh really?
Yeah, I have one.
So. That's why you wanted to do that movie night.
Yeah, I bought the projector. I was ready to go. And I was like, this is too much. I can't do this. I'm really good at, and how good are you at this? I think I'm really good at quitting stuff. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really good at like, that's too much for me. I'm going to take a break. I'm not going to do anything tonight. You seem to do so much. Like I look at your social media and I get tired.
My mom and my sister say the same thing. They've both been married 20 plus years to the same man, not the same man, but their own men. They are always telling me, Tess, I'm already exhausted just hearing your schedule for the week. Like they can't even, they get so enthralled with a trip. Like if we're going to go somewhere like to the beach as a family or whatever, so much planning has to happen beforehand. And you know what I mean? Me, you can call me up that morning and I'm gonna be like, let's go.
Okay. Really? do you purposely give yourself like timeouts from comedy or like, cause you, mm-hmm. Well, you do. Cause you're a mom. Like you have no choice.
Monday, I took the day off of open mics, shows, anything, supporting, all that stuff, because I had to do laundry. I did 13 fucking loads of laundry.
Jesus Christ, how many kids do you have?
Well, it's just me and my roommate.
Uh-huh.
And all my blankets, sheets, you know, all that had to get washed.
Oh my gosh.
I did it all.
I hate doing laundry.
I hate doing laundry too. That's why I do it one time. And then I don't have to do it for like a month.
No, I kind of try to do it a little bit every week. Mm-mm. No, I couldn't do that. If my laundry got that bad, I would fucking take it to one of those laundry places and just not buy weed that week. Like that would
They're expensive, man.
That would be my punishment. I think I used to take like 3 or 4 loads.
Hey, we're big people. Our clothes weigh, dude. One shirt could be 2 pounds. You don't know.
They do. They don't know the struggle, like how heavy people clothes is.
Yes, folding all of our shirts and shit like that. That's arm fucking work out there.
Kicking the...
You got to stop. You got to go through reps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't do so many shirts. Then you got to go to socks because that uses different muscles. Like, go back to the shirts.
So were you always the class clown? Were you always this funny?
I think I was always funny-ish. Now I just like more look for punches.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How can I make it funnier?
What's your Penelope's harassing test?
Yeah, just
push her away.
I love you, baby girl.
See, she's got her toys. Pillow right here. I'm surprised she's not playing with her toy. Thank you for the toy. Tess brought Penelope toys and snacks and didn't bring me shit.
Look.
And it was my birthday just the other day, so I don't know what's up with that.
Your present was me coming to your show and bringing people.
Thank you so much. Who'd you bring?
I brought three.
You
three
brought, dude? Friends. Really? You have three friends?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a lot of friends. I'm just teasing, Tess. Have you reached a point yet with comedy where you're like, I don't know if, like, have you gotten burned out?
No.
No? Mm-mm. Not once?
I mean, there's days.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Where I'm just like, oh, I do not feel funny. I do not feel like going to make people laugh. But then you get there and then it's fun. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of forget that.
Yep. What, I know you're doing, you started a room. Like the Queen of Sheba. So tell me about what made you get your own room? Because I'll tell you what made me like want to do my own shows is like, I just got tired of waiting for people to put me on a show. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do my own show.
I hear that a lot.
Was that what drove you or what happened?
No.
You're on no, everybody books me.
No, that's not true either.
Know.
What it was is Queen of Sheba was part of my open mic scene in the very, very beginning.
Queen of Sheba is an describe Queen of Sheba.
So Queen of Sheba is an Ethiopian restaurant on Broadway. And in the back patio, it is a smoke friendly, has a bar, kind of looks like a tiki lounge, if you will, in Jamaica is the way I can describe it. The first time I walked in there to do the open mic, there was a bunch of Asian and white people in there enjoying the food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my partner and I was like, hey, I don't know if my dick sucking bit's going to go well here. And then they're like, oh no, the comedy's in the back. And then I walked in the back and there was a guy with long dreads, Rasta looking, rolling up something. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be my vibe. So they do a lot of music artist stuff. So rapping, singers, actual musicians, bands. They just open it up to the community. They have an open mic that they do once a month. I think it's the third Thursday of each month. So I have been, they've been asking me for a while to do a show in that room. So I finally collaborated with Marcian Evans.
Yep.
And he'd been hitting the room just as much as I had been. And so we developed the collab show. So it's about five comics. And then we always feature one non-comic artist. So whether it's a poet, singer, rapper, we haven't had a dancer yet, but I'm open to that. So we collab with other artists.
Is it hard finding the other artists? Like, how do you find them?
Well, I utilize Queen of Sheba because, like I said, they have an open mic, so they have a stream of people. The gal that organizes the back, Keisha, her partner is a rapper. So if I ever need someone in a pinch, I always have Pace, La Familia, and Marcian also knows a good amount of artists too, so he's been able to book every other month. So we switch off who's hosting, who's featuring.
Yep.
So we always get a chance to get up on stage on each show. And then we share in that booking responsibility too.
How many months have you done that show now?
So that's been going on now for about 7 months.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, and it's a paid show, so it's $10 entry fee, so I do pay my comics, so I like to get back in that aspect and get the feel for that type of, you know, setup. And then I have the second Saturday of each month at Front Street Studio. Front Street has been great in supporting comedy. They've been doing an open mic for over a year. Pej the Maniac started it back a year ago, and we wanted to do something that gave back to those that were working so hard at that open mic. So again, with all what I've been doing with them, they wanted to give me an opportunity to do a show or do something there at that venue.
Mm-hmm.
So the second Saturday of each month is now a Front Street studio showcase featuring the list that Pej has been giving me for everyone who's been going there frequently, working that mic, kind of giving back. So we do 10-15 minute sets, depending on what they're comfortable with. And there's five.
Nice, nice. Yeah. How long have you been doing that one now?
So that one is going on its fourth month.
Okay.
Yeah. And this month it's going to be Ray Dean hosting because I have a wedding to go to. I
fucking love Ray Dean.
Yeah. I was in a booker to be on the show, and then I had to do the wedding. And then so she was like, I'll host. And I was like, perfect.
That's so great. That's great. Who, do you, anybody else on that show?
For this show coming up, gosh, you're putting me on the spot.
No, don't worry about it. So let's talk about,
but I have one more coming up and you're on that one.
Yeah. Let's talk about that show. Where's that one going to be at? Yeah.
So I have a new
show. Yeah. Let's talk about me.
Yeah. So I have a new show coming up. It's in Rancho Cordova. It's a wine bar called Drink Easy, E-E-Z-Y, wines. They kind of have a single like glass bottle that looks like a tall Ciroc bottle with a cap on it, but it's wine.
Okay.
So that's their kind of their product. So they opened up this wine bar and they were posting free event space. So I hit up the owner and I said, hey, would love to bring comedy. We talked it up. This too is going to be a paid show. So I'm going to be able to give back to the comics. And I've got a killer lineup set up for this one. You're on it, Jackie Pearl, Alvin Duke, Shannon Battle, Asia May, and Ben Warheit is also on it as well.
Where's Ben Warheit from?
He is from Sacramento.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the one name I hadn't heard.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. He's been up and coming. Yeah. Up and coming. So I want to give him a guest spot and have him kind of open it up for everyone and then everyone else go in and do their thing. So I think it's gonna be a fun night.
What do you think of...
That's November 3rd, by the way, November in Rancho 3rd. Cordova. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Does it seem like the comedy scene is... Because you've been on it for like 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it seem like it's really hitting a stride right now? Like, there's so many comics at all of the open mics, and there's so many open mics, and there's so many shows. Like, what? How would you describe like what's going on in Sacramento right now?
I'm hoping that it's a good thing.
What do you mean you're hoping? Like, are you worried it's going to turn into something bad?
Well, what I'm hoping it doesn't turn into is like it's saturated.
Mm.
You know, because there can be too many open mics. There can be too many non-big house shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I'm kind of still learning the trajectory I want to take in the scene, and I guess that depends on each individual comic too.
Right.
Where I'm realizing, you know, it's the houses, it's the getting past, it's the festivals, it's the, you know what I mean? You got to do that kind of work as well as the local stuff.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you want.
Exactly.
Out of it, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The trajectory you want to take in it. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's the trajectory you want to take? Do you have it figured out yet yourself? Like, no. You're like, I don't know. Yeah. People ask me that all the time. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know.
I'm happy local. I'm happy producing a few shows. You know what I mean? That feeds my creative side for comedy.
Right.
But I also don't mind traveling a little bit. I got a little taste of that with Luz Pasos. You know, she booked me to do Sacramento. Then I went with her to San Jose the next night and then Fresno. And then now she's talking about doing the same thing, but then going to Bakersfield. So, you know, I don't mind doing those kind of little, you know, tour trips or whatever, you know what I mean? So I don't know what that means. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
I'm
right.
Still, like you're saying, like you said, figuring it all out. But
you didn't do Bakersfield. I remember you mentioning Bakersfield to me once and mm-hmm. you're like, not would yet. Would you be interested in doing Bakersfield? I was like, not in the summer.
Yeah. Because when she first told me, I thought the date was going to come up soon.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
That's why I kind of mentioned it to you.
But yeah. No.
I haven't.
I have no desire to go to Bakersfield in the summer. In the summer. But like this time of year, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hot as 80s over there during the summer.
What's been one of your favorite things that's happened so far? Like, is there too many to mention? Or what's been one of your funnest nights of comedy where you're just like, or like early on, like what was something that happened early on. You're like, oh, fuck, I'm going to keep doing this.
So October of that first year, I had scored a show. One of my friends had introduced me to someone else who grew up in my small town called Mendota out in Central Valley. His name's Sick Rick out of Fresno. And he's also up and coming, you know, but he's also a go-getter entrepreneur, you know, kind of a thing. So he worked out a deal along with a few other comics with Marlowe's, which is a Mexican restaurant in Fresno. Well, they got Carlos Medina to headline it. And he's from the original Latin Kings of Comedy.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a 200-seat house. So wow. We started selling tickets, promoting it. I went and did a green screen to put on the promotion flyers and different things like that with Tristan Johnson.
I wanted to say, is that the one Tristan yep. helped with? But then I yep. don't want to be like, what if it wasn't the one Tristan helped with?
No, it's the one Tristan helped me with. And so because I couldn't be over there and help promote when they were doing their videos and getting together and promoting, I did that here on my side.
Right. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. So we sold a lot of tickets, and Rick kept saying, you know, a lot of these people are your people, Tess. They keep calling me and telling me I need tickets. That's my girl. That's my girl. Uh-huh. Either went to school with them. They're related to you. You know what I mean? Like something. And man, they came out in force. Wow. You know, he said like probably a good 60% of the tickets sold were my people's. So you know?
where the heck is Mendota?
Mendota is between I-5 and 99, like west of Fresno.
So is Fresno the closest city?
Yes.
How far away is Fresno?
45 minutes.
So, like, if you needed to go into town, would you go into Fresno? Was it that bad?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And you grew up there from what age to what age?
I was born in Fresno, but lived in Mendota, like, between Mendota, Farban, Dos Palos, which are all just little stick towns.
I've never heard of any. I'd heard of Mendota, but never.
Farban and Dos Palos.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. Well, of course, I know Bakersfield. Then I know Central Valley, like, Visalia, Goshen,
mm-hmm.
Reedley, like those small towns.
See, but I know Exeter, Woodville, Farmersville, and all Dinuba. Those little towns yeah, too, because yeah. my grandma's over there in that area.
So. And so you still have family there?
Mm-hmm,
my How did you get out of Mendota to Sacramento? How'd you escape?
How did I escape?
Do you feel like you escaped?
I don't feel like I escaped, but my journey out, let's say that, right, is my sister, she was very boy crazy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my dad just knew she was going to get
this older sister, younger sister.
Oh, he just gosh. Knew she was going to get knocked up or something. Right. With mm-hmm. this Mexican kid. Right. My dad's white. So my sisters, I have two older sisters. My dad and my mom are 11 years apart. So
oh, there it is again. the big age difference.
My mom was 17. My dad was 27 when they met.
Italo?
Yeah. And then she was 18.
It was different times, though, folks.
Exactly. I have a joke about it. I say that we'll call that grooming at its finest these days. You know what I mean? The way yeah. my dad introduced himself to my mom. And so, yeah, my mom. Shit, I lost my track. What were we talking about?
How'd you?
Oh, get out. Yeah. So
I didn't want to say escape again.
So my dad's first wife. Right. There was a pizza factory in her little town in Farbaugh. Right. And her friends owned it. She decided to become a franchisee.
Like a pizza factory?
It's like a pizza place.
Oh,
like
that's
a,
what it's like called. A round pizza. Table, oh, okay. Pizza I thought there was like a factory that
the
produced
closest
pizzas.
One is like Grass Valley or Cameron Park.
Okay, so pizza factory, kind of like a
an Eilton.
Okay, so but, that's a chain. Not, yeah. Okay, and I was so, thinking it was like a factory that made pizzas.
So this is back in the 80s, right? And mm-hmm. so she decides she's going to open up a chain. So she comes north and she starts looking at all these little towns and she picks Winners, California, which is by not Vacaville.
Far. Yeah.
So every summer we would come up, work in the pizza factory, spend time with my older sisters, you know what I mean? Kind of a thing. And my dad shipped Tara out here her junior year because he didn't want her to get all locked up with that boy, kind of a thing. So my sister Tara's out here for her junior year, senior year. She graduates. She has a baby, right? I'm in the Bay Area. So I got out of my little town. I moved where my mom was in the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister calls and says, I got into it with my in-laws. I'm in a hotel with my brand new nephew. Right?
Oh, wow.
I don't have no kids. So I look at my boyfriend at the time and I'm like, we're moving to Sac.
What did he say?
Okay. He quit his job. I moved him up here that weekend. We got an apartment with my sister and her boyfriend, or husband now.
Where'd you work?
Well, I was still working at the bank in the Bay. I didn't quit my job. I'm not
stupid.
So you
were just commuting?
So, no, I lived over there and brought him here so he could find a job. Once he had the job, then I quit.
Oh.
Which was like less than 30 days. But I had to get my sister something. I had to get her out of there.
Because you're the old. Are you the oldest?
Well, on my dad's side, I'm the middle. Mm-hmm. And on my mom's side, I'm the oldest of six.
Wow.
I'm the middle of four and oldest of six.
Yeah, because that is definitely oldest sibling behavior right there. I'd be like, I got to go rescue my sister.
There's only two of us from my mom and my dad. And that's me and Tara.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've been here ever since?
I went back to the Bay shortly after I split with that guy and my sister was good, but then was only there for like a few years and then I came back and then I've been here since 99. Yeah.
Do you love it here? Or do you kind of want to go back to the Bay, or do you kind of want to go back to the Central Valley?
If I could afford the Bay, I would be in the Bay. Okay. Just because of how close it is to everything, to me, what I like, the water, you know what I mean? Different destinations, stuff like that. It has so much to do. But I love Sacramento. Sacramento has a lot to offer. You know, I would rather be here than Fresno.
Yeah. Well, there's parts of Fresno. Like, I used to, like, really not like Fresno. But there is, like, some cool stuff going on in Fresno. Like, I don't, like, totally diss Fresno anymore.
I used to
call it the big no. Like, I used to be very anti-Fresno. But now it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to live there either. But I'm just saying that in case I ever end up in Fresno, I could be like, well, I always said it wasn't that bad. No, I don't ever want to end up in Fresno. I'd go back to Bakersfield before.
It's not my preference.
Yeah.
Just to say that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. What do you got going on this month?
So remainder of the month, I've got Laughs Unlimited tomorrow night, Michael Calvin's Junior's show, Say It Loud. I've got Friday, Sean Crosco's hosting Liquid Therapy Bar,
a comedy show. Is that Rancho also, or Folsom?
No, it's in Fair Oaks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's off of Greenback, I think. Or Madison.
Everything in Fair Oaks is off of Greenback.
One of those. Madison or Greenback. I can't remember. And then Sunday, I'm doing a rehearsal for a fashion show.
What?
Yeah, Tempress.
Did you get that through Shannon Battle?
Yeah, well, Tempress.
Yeah.
She has a fashion line, and she's going to be doing a show later this month, and I'm going to be walking in it. So I have a rehearsal on Sunday.
That's what I love is, like, just how, I mean, it's comedy, right? Like, I love comedy. I do it for the comedy. But there's all these other little offshoot branches that are going on. We're like the collab show, right? Like Shannon doing the New York Fashion Week, you know. And even like, I love how Little Amy Thompson. I don't even know why I call her Little Amy Thompson. I shouldn't call her that. She
is little though.
Yeah, but Amy Thompson and her Dress to Kill. Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't that like? So Amy Thompson was on the podcast one day, and we talked a lot about fashion, and we talked about, like, so I always, like, now to me it's curious, like, I'm curious too, like, how do you, so I'm always thinking about, like, I do want to look cool on stage, and I absolutely want to be comfortable, right? We talked about being bigger people already, that, like, you know, so comfort is a big thing, clothing is a big thing. What goes through your mind, like, how do you prepare, how do you dress to kill, like, do you give it a lot of thought? Because you really, like, I think you do, because you usually look pretty fly.
Thank you. I do put thought in it. I try not to wear repeats.
See?
And then I try to think of the room and the lighting, depending on if I've been there before or not. And then layers, you know what I mean? Because as comics, we will have a drink and we could get hot. You know what I mean? Just making sure that if I could wear it without the jacket, with the jacket.
I consider layers. Layers is one thing I consider as well. Because I get hot.
Research the weather, guys. Because I did a show at Winter's Tavern. And I wore a dress. And it was cold as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in Pacifica. I brought a jean jacket. But it was too cold.
Right. Have you?
And then I saw Asia Wynn did. And she wore a freaking, like, jumpsuit. Like a one-y jumpsuit.
Uh-huh.
Because it was so cold.
Yeah. So you've made that mistake of showing up and, like, it's freezing and you don't have anything cold to wear.
Yeah.
Or anything for your cold. I was at a show and I was somewhere in Oak Park and it suddenly got super cold. And I had, like, I always have a hoodie, but Drew Schaefer was there and he did not have, like, he was just wearing a t-shirt and he was freezing. And I said, "Hey, Drew, I have a Dodgers hoodie in the car if you want to borrow it." And he said, "No, thanks. I'd rather freeze."
Oh, shit.
And I was like, "You know what? That's exactly what I was hoping you would say."
I would have took it. I didn't give a shit.
Yeah, no. I really admire him for saying that.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so you do think about Dressing to Kill. And you factor in a lot more things than I do.
Oh, I told Amy, book me.
Oh,
book
really?
Book me. Please, yeah. Book me. I'm going to put out all the stops.
I really wanted to go to that show, but I had the book report. And have you ever done improv? Have we talked about improv? And you're like, "Fuck that, I'm not going to try."
No. I told you I was going to take an improv class. I haven't done it yet. But it's on my to-do list.
Well, let me just real quick say that Stab Comedy Theater is about to start offering improv classes. Like he's writing out the curriculum right now.
Nice. I'll wait.
And also Comedy Spot offers a drop-in class called Taste Test where you could just go in for the night, and I think it's like 10 or 15 bucks. I don't know how much it is.
Oh, I'll look on the website.
And Sarah Agamahamedi teaches it, who used to be part of Telenovela and now is part of the Hypothetic Chicks. So
okay.
So there's improv classes available at the Comedy Spot and soon to be at Stab Comedy Theater. Jesse Jones was talking about it the other day.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've been thinking about is more writing and doing different styles of writing, like writing poetry, writing songs, writing comedy, writing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of seeing where my creativeness goes and flows, you know what I mean? So
this sounds like my sativa joke where you're just like, smoke some sativa and see where it goes.
Yeah. So because even though I've landed into comedy, I just don't know where it all, you know, wind up.
There's a question I ask a lot of people, but and I was thinking about asking you, and then in this as I was thinking about asking you, at the same time I was like, there's no fucking way she ever has, because one of the things that I admire about you, Tess, is how confident you are and like how well you carry yourself, and you're just like, "Fuck this, I'm gonna do it," right? Like, yeah, this I'm gonna do it attitude. But one of the questions I ask a lot of people is like, have you ever just gotten super nervous or super anxious and not finished a set?
Oh yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. The Restroom, Johnny Taylor booked me very early on.
Wow.
Yep.
That's not a good place to do that.
He was all the way in the back.
Tell me about it.
Okay, he was all the way in the back.
It's, so the rush room is fucking dope, because
it's dope as fuck.
It's upstairs, yeah. And it looks like TRL live.
But this is still when I didn't have my set memorized, you know what I mean? And I was like going off my notes.
Let's
and,
talk about it. How many months in were you?
Fuck. I don't even know, bro. I was not even a year in. Not even a year.
Uh-huh. And Johnny probably knew you just word of mouth, and you took his class.
Well, I took his class. That's how he knew me, you know what I mean? And it was the first show he had booked me for since the graduation of the class. And
the last one? No, I'm just kidding.
Keith Lowell Jensen was there with his nephew, and I think he was hosting he did a set and he was telling me he cannot wait until I did my dick sucking list, and he wanted me to look directly at his nephew and make him as uncomfortable as possible. I'm all done, man. Say less, right? Say less. But yeah, I feel like I rushed it. My speed.
What do you think got you that night? Like,
it was just nerves. It was just because I was still way nervous back then. I mean, I was doing the Rocky punches in the air in the hallway each time before I went on set. Probably took a shot. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. To kill the nerves, you know, because I used to get real nervous.
Uh-huh.
I'm not so nervous now. But
so what happened? Did you not finish the set, or did you?
No, I finished, but I finished early. Johnny was still in the fucking green room.
I was about to say, I've done that before.
Running.
I've done that so... where like I finished a set and I was like, I didn't see a light.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's all my I got for tonight. Like, I'll bring your host up next, Johnny. And Johnny came running. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, yeah, that was the only time.
But you know what? I bet you at the end of the night, only maybe one or two comics noticed that your set wasn't tight. And the audience members probably didn't.
And I'm sure Johnny and Keith, knowing how long I had been in comedy, you know what I mean? Like. We've all had that moment.
So when you got off the stage and realized that, was it that you just forgot a joke or you blacked out? You don't even know.
Oh, I forgot. I always forget a joke. Like, I don't think I've ever, I mean, there may have been one or two times that I've had a solid, clean set to where I've said everything. And I was like, God, yeah, I got that one. Uh-huh. But every time I come off now, I'm like, oh, I forgot that. Oh, I could have used that. Oh, I could have, you know.
Do you ever think about taking Johnny's storytelling class again?
Oh, I'm definitely doing it again.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. Do you have a, is there a story that's brewing in the back of your head or are you still trying to decide?
I'm going to do the Becky story again.
Oh, you're going to do it?
Just tighten again. It up.
Just tighten. Okay. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. All right. I think it deserves another round and then I can possibly use it in my bits too.
Right on. So. Right on. Is there any jokes that like you just gave up on after so many tries? I have a joke right now that I won't abandon it. And like every time I do it, like Danny's like, God, that joke fucking sucks.
Well, you know, for me, there's one joke that I feel only it was killing when I was using it in the beginning and then it lost momentum. And the only reason why it's killing it again now is because gas prices are back up.
Okay.
It's my dick equivalates to the distance joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If gas prices aren't up there and they're not filling that. They're not filling that joke.
That's true, but gas prices are creeping back up.
But they're creeping back up. So lately I've been kind of testing it again and it's been hitting.
I like that. So it's a joke that talks about your dick better be good if you're going to think I'm going to drive that far because gas prices are kind of crazy. And I put it up there with I love Danny D's joke about that. Oh, don't think you're a weekend fuck. You're like a Tuesday, Thursday fuck.
So mine is like, make sure the dick equivalents to the distance, right? Like, if you're having me drive anywhere for 2+ hours, I better wake up 2 days later from a coma asking what day of the week it is. And I said, if you're meet me halfway, dick, we'll establish that in the beginning. I'm a fair girl. I'm the girl you can bend over at 12 a.m. on that freeway off ramp if the gas is worth it.
And the weather's right.
And I said, but if you are come all the way to me, dick, I think you're going to know that, but I got no problem reminding you these days. So again, please make sure the dick equivalates to the distance.
That's fair enough. That's
be courteous enough. To your ladies, man.
Oh, man. Tess, there's this thing I like to do on the podcast, and you said I didn't send it to you.
No.
I feel bad, but we wrap up the podcast with this thing called, Julian just asked me if I was available October 13th, and I am not. He's got that show out. Is it that brewery show? No, he's got like a winery show. Julian LaCrosse.
Oh, it's a bar. They have all alcohol, wine, beer, 39 handles, 30.
Yeah. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen he's put together some really good lineups out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm flattered. He asked me.
But they're a fun crowd.
Maybe I can do a different night. Okay, so Tess, I have this segment of the podcast called 5 Easy Questions, and I promise you these questions are very easy. Okay. There's no math involved.
All right.
There's no math, but maybe some like raw emotions, like you might have to answer from the heart. Like
I do have one. It's okay.
You do have a heart?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I questioned it. I've questioned it a few times.
And I decide when to tap in.
All right. Fair enough. I respect that. Tess, question number one. Who or what inspires you?
Oh, man, that's a toughie. Because it changes.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Just go with one of them and tell me, like, what do you mean it changes on what it is? Like, comedy or life or being a mom or what?
Just, yeah, all of it. My dad inspires me a lot for his confidence and his salesmanship, I guess you can say. He owned a business, and shit, 2 weeks after he had passed, we were still getting commission checks.
Wow.
from his sales. So I was like, do we have to tell them? How long can we get these checks? Like, you know what I mean? On my mom's side, very loving, nurturing, you know what I mean? The mother that I am, how caring I am, how giving I am. Sometimes it's a curse, sometimes it's a blessing, you know what I mean? So it's a mix of bag, you know what I mean? It just kind of depends on what it is I'm doing.
All right. What about in comedy?
In comedy, I would say it's my dad, because he was funny and he told a lot of jokes in his sales process. Dirty too.
Right. Oh, your dad was filthy?
Oh, my dad was filthy mouth. That's where I get it from.
Think he'd be proud of your jokes?
Oh, absolutely. For sure. As he's gotten older, though, he's gotten like, you know, don't say that. You know, you shouldn't be like that. And I mean, I'm just like, whatever, Chuck.
Right on. Okay. Now, this is a question. And I know that when we use the word binging, like a lot of people think about like TV shows or stuff like that. But like this is like anything. Like, what are you currently binging? Like, it could be like TV shows, a movie series, a book series. Like, what are you currently like, oh, that's my shit right now?
Honestly, I found a new Collective Bakery.
A new what?
By my work.
A Collective Bakery?
So, you know how there'll be a collective where they have a bunch of artists on display, like, you know, so-and-so makes this kind of clay art, these people make stickers, these people make whatever, right?
Right.
It's a bakery.
So people are making shit at their house and bringing it to the bakery?
Like 10 bakers, 12 bakers. And I was like, no, there's probably like 15 now that she has. And so, yeah. So the first round I went, I got like babinka. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a Filipino dessert. It's kind of like that. But she has different flavors. And then I got empanadas, peach empanadas.
Oh, those,
and I had
love empanadas.
Macarons, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. You know, the little cookie kind of things.
Yeah.
This time I went, I got two different kind of cakes. They're in these little oblong, self-serving little containers from a wedding cake lady. So she's now branching out, trying to do these single serving desserts. So the cake was red velvet and dulce de leche. I
fucking love red velvet.
Oh my God, it was so good. 2 for $12. You could pick two different cakes for $12. And it was so good. And then I have, tomorrow I'm going to try a mango ice cream that I picked up. That's
homemade. When are they doing the red velvet again?
They have it in the bakery right now.
They have it like every day?
Yes.
Where is this bakery?
It's on Olson, right? Where KP Market is.
What part of town?
Rancho.
Oh. It's far.
Olson Drive, right in front of KP Market. Make it a day. Go to KP. Trust me, you'll love it. And then right in front, right next to Kumon Training or whatever. It's called Nanayama or something like that. It's black and white on the front. Looks cartoonish.
And so are you stopping in before work and picking up sweets?
Lunchtime.
Oh, lunch.
Yeah, I went in and checked it out again just to see what else I wanted to try.
I love it.
So I'm binging on Collective Bakery right now.
Dude, that sounds fucking dope. I'm going to wait for you to bring me some one of these days. Tess, this is a deep one. This is a deep one.
Okay.
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of something happening to my kids. It's always been a fear. It's
fucked up.
That's, you know what?
A
truth,
lot
though.
Of moms have that. Yeah. Like, they have like bad
it's
dreams.
Like, it's like,
you have
really,
bad dreams about it?
I don't have bad dreams about it. I have bad thoughts. You know what I mean? Like, I used to have thoughts a lot of my kid getting kidnapped. I don't know why. It would just pop in my head and I would just spiral with that thought. You know what I mean? So, but I don't do it so much anymore because my kids are older, I think.
Yeah.
Because if that was my fear, you know, they don't want my kids now.
Nobody's going to kidnap an 11. Does he say the young one's 11? Nobody wants an 11-year-old.
Spoiled ass. They'll have him back so quick. Be like, what did you do to him? He only eats chicken nuggets.
Look at Penelope. Didn't want that impossible chicken nugget.
Sheeps is impossible to eat, isn't it, baby?
She just looked at it. All right. So you're afraid of something happening to your kid. That's okay. That's a dark one.
Yeah.
I know you're going to go there. Whatever. If you're on death row... What are you picking for your last meal?
Ooh.
This is one you probably wish you would have had time to think about.
Nope.
No, you already know?
I would do a rare steak with mushrooms on top with some shrimp scampi, baked potato, loaded with no chives.
That sounds fucking grub. Mm-hmm. They're just going to fall asleep.
If I can order more shit, I would want some like a side of mac and cheese, some cornbread. Give me, I just had a...
Who's got the best mac and cheese in town?
Best mac and cheese in town. Shoot. Honest truth, I like the Rind. I don't know if you've been there or not. It's a wine bar, but they specialize in mac and cheese and grilled cheeses.
Mm.
And they serve wine.
I fucking love grilled cheeses.
It's really good.
Have you had the grilled cheeses at the place right up the street, Shift Coffee House?
No, I've heard of it though, because it comes up when I Yelp grilled cheeses.
Oh, you gotta go. You've Yelped grilled cheeses?
Hey, man, I'm starting to get that senior menu appetite.
You want a grilled cheese at 4 o'clock?
Man, you know, like you're sitting there at the menu and then you know, everybody's ordering like this, and you're just like, I just kind of want to just like grilled ham and cheese fries.
I used to
like,
get that all the time at Vince's.
Bruh, you were the one who told me the first time I went to Vince's, you were all, get the grilled cheese and fries. And I got the ham grilled cheese and fries.
Yeah.
And every time I go, Danny's all, they serve so much better things here.
Danny tells me, eat some grown-up food.
And I go, oh no, these fries are bomb. Like, Jesse got me on this shit. Everybody's ordering lobster spaghetti and fucking, she's ordering gnocchi, baked gnocchi.
Yeah, she gets the gnocchi.
Yeah,
right?
gnocchi, and I'm all, baked gnocchi? And she's like, yeah, you and your over your fucking kitty menu.
She would tell me, order off the big kids menu.
And then it's only like $11. I'm like, winning.
Okay, Vince's in West Sacramento has fucking bomb Italian food. It will put you to sleep. The grilled cheese or the pizza that are not on the menu, but you could order them.
We would go early, remember? Yeah. We would call Carrie.
Yeah, we'd call Carrie and be like, we're coming.
And put the order in.
Yeah, because
we would start at 9:30 and you'd have to order by 9.
Well, the thing about Vince's is like, you don't know when it's going to start, you know, but it's going
to
start. It's
supposed to start.
Yeah, it'll start. Yeah, I miss Vince's. I need to go.
I heard it's been some crazy shenanigans recently.
Oh, man.
With the newer crowd.
All these kids.
You need to come to Front Street. You would like that open mic.
I you know, it's nothing against the open mic. I just don't like parking. We've had this
conversation. Oh, no, I know.
We've had this conversation, Tess.
Yeah.
I'm as stubborn as you are. We just went silent.
True that.
All right. Tess, this is a fun one. What are you looking forward to? What's next? What's next with Tess? What's next? Wow.
So next is just my upcoming shows. I've got one I'm doing in Napa. I've been wanting to do one out in Napa for a while. I have some coworkers out there, old coworkers that want to come see me, friends. And next month, I'm doing a couple of private events.
Oh,
fundraising. I'm doing one with Lord This. We have one coming up over at, I just did the flyer too. It's in Sacramento. It's Lockdown Presents. I don't know.
I believe you.
Yeah. So, So I'm excited to do like just private shows, like in different environments, different stages,
yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. And I'm excited to do the one in Napa. And then the one coming up in November, you know, I'm hoping that we knock it out of the park and we get something to book monthly with them.
Yeah, that's I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun night. Let me take Bullet.
You want to go first?
Let me go first.
Okay. Maybe. Well, it'll be Ben and then you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because I don't want you to open it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
You're not an opener for me.
Well, whatever. I'll take what I can, Tess. I'll take what I can. Tess, did we talk about everything you wanted to talk? Was this podcast everything you hoped it would be and more?
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
Or is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to mention? Because we're getting ready to wrap it up.
The only thing that I would say is Sacramento comedy scene is unique. I feel like we're family. I feel like there's a lot of love and support that happens within the community. our comics suffer through life every day, just like normal people. And when they come through tragedies and things like that, I've seen this community band together and show that love and just surround the person with whatever they need. You know what I mean? Some people recluse, some people need, you know, that attention, need to be seen, need to be heard. And I think that we give them that. You know what I mean? I've seen people get birthdays celebrated. I'm getting teary eyed. I've seen, you know, them all get together and go to baseball parks. They were camping together. You know what I mean? It's just like a camaraderie. I think that some of them have been missing and need. You know what I mean? And it's just nice to see.
Tessa's crying. And she's,
shut up.
And she's really trying hard to make me cry.
I'm not
cracking.
It must be time for my period because I'm getting
emotional. Audacious. Made me cry at the last podcast. So.
Oh, why does she make you cry?
I don't know. But Tess is going through changes.
I am. That time of the life.
She's getting emotional. She's got little beads of sweat on her forehead. Tess, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm sorry you're crying.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll talk soon. Bye.